everyone. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. This week, we have two guests from Altium. We have Ted Pawella, who is our Chief Ecosystem Officer and head of our brand new business unit, Nexar. And we're going to tell you about that today. And we also have the pleasure of having Lee Gon, who is our Chief Software Architect in charge of Altium 365 and so much more. We're going to give you a peek behind the scenes of what we're doing here at Altium to really unleash your designs and bring together the whole electronics ecosystem. So lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, hey, Lee. Hey, Ted. Thanks so much for joining today. So excited to hear about what you guys have to share with us today.
Hi, Judy. Thanks for having us here.
Hi, Judy. Good to be with you.
Thank you. So, Lee, rumor has it you're actually inside of a physical office.
I am. Physical office, Judy. It's amazing to actually be back in the office. So this is our new Cambridge office, which we opened at the beginning of May. It's wonderful to be back, you know, in front of people, having those kind of creative conversations and discussions outside of the virtual Zoom environment. It's brilliant.
Well, I'm still here at home, but I did poke into our La Jolla yesterday, La Jolla office yesterday, which was really great. Ted, you're back in the office too, right?
I am. I'm one of just, you know, maybe a little over a half a dozen people who've been coming into the office.
Yeah, it feels like we may get back to some semblance of normal here. So it's good to see, and I hope to see you both in person before long. Well, just because we haven't been in office here at Altium doesn't mean we haven't been busy, and you two in particular. Lee, I think it was last May 1st, if I recall correctly, you and your team unleashed Altium 365, which is our cloud platform. Can you tell us sort of what this last year has been like for you and your team and the adoption trajectory, you know, during this time of all this remote work? What has that been like, and what's the feedback you're getting so far?
Yeah, we'd love to. So obviously it was a really big, busy period in the run-up to the launch. And I would say that has not quietened down. If anything, it's kind of got busier to that extent. The take-up and adoption of Altium 365 has been nothing short of stellar, to be honest. If you look at what we've seen over the past, you know, just over 12 months now, we're somewhere around about just over 12,000 monthly active users on the platform.
Wow.
And around about 5,500 customers that have now adopted Altium 365 as part of their kind of design process and methodology. The team in and of itself that's behind 365 are just doing an absolutely amazing job. You know, every day there's new capabilities that are starting to emerge, you know, features and functions that are actually being delivered on the platform. The very fact that it's cloud means that, you know, we've got the ability to kind of roll those things out as they're available. So just to see the kind of depth and breadth and richness of things that are starting to appear there is pretty astounding. The feedback that we're getting from customers as well is really pretty awesome. You know, the way that this is starting to impact people's, say, design review process, you know, the way that it's enabling people to collaborate more effectively, share component libraries, these kind of things. We're actually getting a lot of, you know, positive feedback to that end, and also a lot of ideas from customers that are telling us, you know, the things that they're really liking and the things that they'd like to go and see. So I think all in all, it's a very bustling, busy, great place to be at the moment.
Well, sometimes it's, you know, although I know this has been a long time vision for us, you know, I think COVID has helped drive some of that adoption because the ability to collaborate. And so it's interesting to see this trajectory continue to grow even as parts of the world open up. Do you think sort of collaboration is the the number one thing that people are enjoying, or what specifically are the sort of enablers that Altium Designer customers are enjoying at this point?
I think there's a range of things. I mean, you mentioned COVID, which, you know, really for many companies put them onto the back foot. You know, it involves them kind of going remote working very quickly when infrastructures and other things weren't really in place. And traditionally, the tool chain and the tool sets to kind of make remote working friendly, as it were, would be difficult to set up and expensive. And 365 really actually solved a lot of problems for a lot of our customers at that moment in time. I think one of the things that you've seen is that we probably had, you know, equivalent to 5 years kind of change in the space of a year in terms of the way that people behave, the freedom and flexibility that they expect and need today when it comes to working together. So the collaborative aspect is definitely a big one. I think the ability to be kind of remote working, to be in any place independent of maybe where your, you know, computer is set up and other things like that is also kind of an important thing there. So yeah, collaboration is absolutely a key part to that. But like I say, being unshackled from maybe that desktop PC in the office has also been a really important part for people.
Yeah. Well, Ted, I want to turn to you because recently a press release went out and a new website's up for a new business unit. But I know you see it more like a product that is not only going to serve Altium users or design engineers, but really serve the entire electronics ecosystem. So can you tell us about what Nexar is and, you know, what you see as sort of the value of Nexar to not only our users, but to people we're inviting in to be partners?
Sure. Well, so it's exactly what Lee said. So we actually don't think of it so much as a product. I think of it as, I think of Altium having now a cloud platform. And that platform has two sides to it. So, you know, when Lee and I talk about it, he often says it's sort of two sides of the same coin. And sometimes I say something like a double-sided platform. But the idea is that it's the same thing, Altium 365 and Nexar. However, it's kind of like looking into a house from two different windows, if you will. And on one, through one window or through one side of that platform, you're talking about what users experience in terms of capabilities and you know, features and things like that. And through the other side, though, is the opportunity for partners to come in. And those could be partners who want to integrate their technology to ours. They could be people who have data that would be valuable to users that they would like to be able to get exposed, or that they would like to get data from us and be able to work with that, like supply chain data, et cetera. So Nexar is really just, you know, kind of the different face of the same thing in terms of that cloud platform. And I think this is really the moment where, you know, Altium can talk less about transforming the industry. And now we're actually into the doing. That platform, that cloud platform, is the key enabler to doing that. So that's the transition, and that's why we're excited.
Well, you know, as someone who has the bruises and scars to show for it, standing between design engineers and their either supply chain partners or EMS company or manufacturing, I know it's really exciting for me to be part of it, but it's also been kind of hard to understand tangibly, you know, what that means and what it looks like. And so, Lee, I wondered if you take a moment and kind of talk specifically about how Nexar ties into Altium 365 on the back of what Ted just said. And then for our listeners, if you want to go over and see what Lee's showing, he's just going to show a slide in the dashboard. But you can go over to YouTube and watch that. But he'll also, for our listeners, just talk you through it so you have as clear a sense of that as possible.
Sure, Judy, absolutely. So as Ted mentioned, you know, the Nexar facing side of the platform is very much about enabling partners and third parties in that ecosystem of electronics design to actually connect into the Altium 365 user and customer base. So if you look at a lot of those users and customers today who are designing electronics, going from that kind of concept, you know, through to intent capture, through to actually producing something, there's many kind of tools and services that they've got to rely on along that way. And today, a lot of those kind of tools and services, you know, can be quite disjointed. Sometimes customers just don't have access to the kind of things that they need. It might be because of price problems or the fact that there's, you know, not an integration there, or the very fact they just don't know about something, right? So the whole idea really behind Nexar is to start to be able to bring a lot of that value and put it in front of our users and customers and make it accessible in a way that really starts to give them a differentiated experience, and an experience which is much more kind of, I would say, coherent and flowing in the way that it works. And what I mean by that, for instance, is say that we've got a company, you know, who's designing a board, and this particular kind of design that they're working on might be something that actually requires them to do some signal integrity analysis or some kind of thermal simulation. Now, today, they would have to go and find, you know, someone somewhere who could provide that kind of capability. They would probably go and have to buy a fairly expensive license to go and get hold of that. And it might be something that they just need to use ad hoc or once. Now, the whole kind of power behind Altium 365 and the Nexar play here is that those kind of like on-demand services would be available at the click of a button through partner integrations. So our customers would have access to those value propositions in a much, much easier way than they would have done in the past. You know, simulation is just one example. But, you know, we're taking this, as we said before, with Altium 365. You know, the whole idea here is about offering a differentiated experience when it comes to actually creating and realizing electronics. And that's all the way from conception down to, you know, the manufacturing floor of actually getting something built. So as well as the simulation side, you know, doing things that enable us to, or enable our customers to, say, design with their manufacturer instead of for their manufacturer is an important, you know, end goal for us as well. Again, all in the name of just making it much more easier, much more cost effective, removing the number of design iterations that you have as part of the whole electronics design process. And this is really first and foremost what the Altium 365 and Nexar platform is intending to do. Now, to your point, today, we've obviously got, you know, for our users and customers, Altium 365 is a rich, bustling kind of world. It's accessible both via the web browser and through Altium Designer today. For Nexar partners, we're also building a similar kind of digital experience where they'll be able to actually come, they'll be able to sign up, register, manage their organization, create applications. They'll be able to programmatically access the platform through our unified Nexar API, which will be giving access both to supply, manufacturing, and design domains as far as data and information goes. So this really is going to enable them to connect into the Altium 365 in a truly digital way. So a lot of these services, tools, and products that these companies offer today can be connected in a way that makes them really easy to consume and use by our users. So I'm just going to walk through that. And as you said, Judy, I'm going to talk through it now, but you can see this on YouTube if you go to the video afterwards. Okay, so if you come to nexar.com, this is our home for Nexar today. You can find out a bunch of information about Nexar, the value proposition that it provides to the different types of partners that we're targeting out there today. Software integration partners, supply chain partners, manufacturing partners, and talks a lot about the kind of things that Nexar can do for you. So you want to come in and start experimenting with Nexar. It's very easy. You can just come in, basically log into your account, and your account is essentially, it works alongside the Altium 365 login, so that will work. Or you can also just come in and sign up for an account. So right now, I'm just going to sign up for a new account with an alias that I've got. And when you first come into Nexar, it's going to prompt you to basically create an organization, because everything within Nexar is all about kind of partners within the ecosystem. So here, I'm just going to give myself, give my organization's name. So we'll call this org. Go ahead and create that. And it's going to bring you into this dashboard here. So this essentially becomes your kind of the portal for managing your presence on the Nexar platform from a partner perspective. And this is where we can start to do things. As you said, Judy, we've had the first release of the Nexar API, which went out at the end of April. So the Nexar API is really kind of the digital kind of connecting point into the platform. It's the part that's going to allow people to access the data that they need and really connect in that digital way. So right now, what I'm going to do is I've been prompted to create an application. I'm just going to give you a quick demo of kind of how that API actually works inside Nexar. So I'm going to call this my demo app. And right now, as you can see here, we've actually just got the supply chain part of the API enabled. We're working on opening up design and manufacturing. These are both in closed alpha at the moment. The design part of the API will be coming around about the June timeframe. Date is still to be determined. So we'll go ahead, click the create button. This is going to go away and create an application for me, which should just take a few moments. So behind the scenes, this is basically just creating an identity for the application. And this is an identity that's essentially going to allow me to programmatically get access into that whole Nexar platform.
So to clarify what you're doing right now, so let's stick with your simulation example, right? So in this place might be, you know, a simulation partner that Ted and his team have spooled up. And now this, the API is going to give access to Ultimate Designer users to connect to that simulation software through this API, correct?
Yeah, so to give you a good example there, Judy, in the past, what would have happened is that, you know, the user would have had to probably download a bunch of files, trying to export them in a particular format, go to the simulation tool, import them, go through that whole process to actually, you know, get that simulation running. Now, what we can do with the API-based approach is that simulation tool, on behalf of the user with explicit permission of that user, would actually be given access to parts of the design that would be needed to actually run that simulation. And by being able to kind of do that in this programmatic digital way, it would mean that they're always kind of working with the right data. There's no need to kind of export files, you know, reformat them, import them, and do that whole kind of thing. And once that simulation is actually almost also finished running, it would also give that simulation tool the ability to publish information back into the platform, which then could be kind of readily accessed by the end user. So it really starts to bring about a different experience instead of these kind of disjointed kind of tool sets and tool chains, whereby you can quite easily end up in a situation where you're spending a lot of time kind of trying to move data here, there, and everywhere. It makes that a much, much more accessible and easier way of doing it, essentially.
Well, and it also seems like a way to guard reliability, right? And things maybe, you know, if you're passing files back and forth, say, it just seems like an opportunity for error.
Yeah, I mean, this has been the thing that, you know, we've been tackling for a long time now, is that, you know, moving files about from one place to another often results in kind of informal, unstructured ways of moving things. There can be quite a severe loss of context. There can be lossiness in file kind of format, translations or exchanges, these kind of things. And, you know, by enabling systems to really connect kind of like digitally, say, you know, from one native system to another, speaking in a language that both understand, actually starts to really remove a lot of the problems that are associated with those kind of informal, unstructured file exchanges. So just to give you an example right now, I've created that application and I've given it access to the supply chain part of our Nexar API. I've now clicked on this IDE button inside the actual browser, and we've got a built-in kind of system that allows developers to experiment with the API and actually explore it. And so you can, what I'm doing right now is I've actually just got a query right in front of me. It's a part search query. This is actually underneath the surface, leveraging all of the kind of industry-leading search capability that we have at Octopart today. And what I can do here is specify a search query with some parameters, tell the system what information I would actually like to get back. And this is a really important part of the Nexar API as well, is that the way that we've actually structured it and built it means that the application that wants to connect to it and get access to information and data can actually do so based on how it's intended to use that information, what its use case is. And what I mean by that is, historically, you know, through, say, RESTful JSON APIs, there would often be quite a lot of endpoints where the client would essentially query for information. It would then have to maybe re-query depending on the response that it got back, and then essentially assemble all of that information into some kind of package of data that is useful to it, discarding a lot of it along the way. With our new kind of graph-based API, the client can essentially describe what it wants and go and ask the API for it. So here, for instance, I'm running a search where I've got a query set up. I'm looking for a 5 nanofarad capacitor. I'm passing in a couple of different filter parameters. I can go ahead, run the query, defining exactly what I want to get back. Here I want to, you know, I'm interested in manufacturer part number, say medium price information, and the sellers that may be authorized to actually sell that particular component. And as you can see on the right-hand side, I then get all of that, those results back in an instant. So it's an extremely powerful way for, you know, almost a multitude or an infinite number of use cases to actually connect into our platform and access data in the way that that particular application needs to. So it's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. And for our listeners, the way I, you know, from sort of where I've, my experience in the industry, when I work for an EMS company, and we have one of our executives here that was a CEO of EMS companies, the frustration that that causes, say, at an EMS provider, Craig Arcuri likes to say there's no such thing as an approximate manufacturer number. So to me, that fills that gap. We're not going to put XXX at the end of this and then it stops and your EMS provider has to call and say, what did you mean? You know, maybe we're out of this, and Octopart is feeding that sort of real-time data or near real-time data. So access to part numbers, real part numbers, full part numbers, that removes an issue. And then also I know we have an MCAD capability that ties into SolidWorks, which eases the ECAD MCAD collaboration. So this is so exciting. Ted, you've been very patient while we dig into the weeds a bit. Thank you so much, Lee, for sharing that. You and your team, of which I'm included and thrilled to be included because of all the bumps and scrapes I've had over the years, is partners. What does this do for partners? And sort of what do you envision this is going to do for the electronics ecosystem? And really, what's the, we've talked a lot about the impact to users. Now, what's the impact for the rest of the industry?
Yeah, well, so maybe one thing I would just emphasize about what Lee was showing there is that, you know, for, I remember when Lee and I were introducing Altium Live or Altium 365 for the first time at Altium Live, this is now going back 2.5 years or something like that. And at that time, you know, we really emphasized that for users, it just works. It doesn't require a lot of effort. And so users don't ever have to touch that API. Users will benefit from it, however, by the virtue of the fact that it now makes it possible for partners to have their solutions, whether it's services or it's software or whatever, to have those kind of come onto that platform. And I think, you know, the way that that will benefit people is, once again, now for the first time, there's one place where everyone who has to be involved in designing electronics can participate together. And that's the fundamental problem that we're solving, is that when you talk to, as a designer, if you have to go to a manufacturer, that's a difficult process. You send emails, you FTP files, you translate those things, and rather than, you know, just be able to share in the context of the design. And that's really what everyone wants to do, to say, just make it work for me. Make it possible that my manufacturer understands what I'm trying to do. Make it possible that the designer understands what the manufacturing partner is trying to tell him about how he could perhaps make it a little less expensive, a little less costly, or maybe he could, you know, turn it around faster if there were subtle adjustments made. But those are difficult conversations today because people don't have the context of the design in mind as they're having them, right? So being on that cloud platform, that just makes it possible. It just works.
Which reminds me of Amazon, right? We don't think about the API and all the heavy duty, you know, software lifting that must happen in the back for us to, you know, buy some cat food and it to show up on our doorstep the next day. It just works. And so, although creating electronics is, you know, a very complex process, at least this creates some transparency. Talk about, we we touched on simulation. MCAD and Octopart already enabled for our Ultium 365 users through partnerships there. Ted, what other kind of partners do you envision or you're excited about sort of pulling into this ecosystem that's really going to be sort of a game changer on both sides of the fence?
I think there's lots of different kinds of partners that could come to play. I tend to think of them in sort of like really high level terms as software and technology partners. So these are people or companies who have technologies that are important. So this could be, you know, anything from signal integrity simulation to thermal simulations to, you know, it could be CFD inside of an enclosure to figure out, you know, how hot your device gets, for example. So anything that relates to software and technology, you could imagine also things like harness design, as an example, that, you know, that needs to interact with the printed circuit board. And now it's possible for those softwares to work together in better ways than they could before. And for a user, that's great, right? It just sort of streamlines the whole process. A second category of partner, I would put them into a bucket of, I call them supply chain partners. And these are distributors of electronic components. They can be the equipment, the original equipment manufacturers of those electronic components, and they're able to more efficiently get information on their products out in front of our users. So, and of course, users benefit from that because they want to know, am I going to be designing with something that is going to be available? Is it going to be available at a price that meets my design envelope? And is it going to be kind of at a place in its life cycle as a product where I can rely on it being there, not only now when I'm prototyping, but downstream when I move into production phase? So that's the second class of partners. Third class of partner, I would just say service providers. So let's imagine that you were a company who wanted to help Altium customers, new Altium customers, to move from some other CAD tool. And they need to move their libraries of designs and components. And that, you know, is an effort. But, you know, there are many service providers out there who are able to help with that, who have a lot of experience with that. And now they can also come in through the platform and help with that and do those things on the cloud as opposed to, you know, trying to do it on on-premise servers and things like that. So software and technology, supply chain, and then the fourth category I'll mention now are in the domain of manufacturing. So this could be board fabricators, this could be EMS houses, contract manufacturers, people who, once again, if they interact with designers all the time. I mean, that's the biggest part of their job is interact with designers and figure out what they want and then supply it to them. And there's a lot of, you know, again, a lot of collaboration, if you will, that takes place today in clumsy ways, in less than ideal ways. And, you know, again, being on a single platform where all of those things can kind of come in one place and everybody is really doing what they do with the design in mind, with the design in front of them and being able to collaborate and work together in that way. It's game changing.
I know, it's so exciting. And although some people might hear us like being sales forward, Ted, tell our partners how much this fancy disruptive technology is going to cost for our partners.
Yeah, that's a great point, Judy, and I'm glad you brought it up. It's zero cost. So the idea here is zero cost, zero friction for partners to come into this ecosystem. And the why of that is really simple. We're doing this to benefit the Altium user community, the people who the design community and for the whole industry for that sake. And you know what? We will win financially because when our platform and our tools, you know, are the obvious choice that everyone would want to make because the capabilities that are provided by not just Altium, but all of our partners. When that happens, obviously, you know, we win in terms of market share and we're going to be successful. So it's, you know, once again, to emphasize that zero cost, zero friction for partners. We want to make it easy for you to come on and integrate your technology, bring your services, and work together with the designers who rely on you today.
Well, you know, Lee, you've said something. One, I love being just part of a company that's trying to solve this big problem. I've often made a joke that, you know, we're still like in the caveman days of how we realize electronics, because the whole world seems to have moved towards, you know, cloud solutions and, you know, Google and Amazon and so many others, particularly those things have risen in usefulness during this pandemic season. But Lee, in a very UK type of way, that's a bit more charming than my Flintstone example, you say that we tend to create things not in silos, but inside of a walled garden. And your perspective is that electronics is still in its infancy, which is a crazy thought. But tell us why you frame it in that way.
Yeah, I think, Judy, if you look back, you know, electronics seems to have been around for quite some time, you know, 50, 60 years now, to which this industry has been evolving. I think it's brought about so much change in the way that we are as a society that, you know, it can be difficult for us to really comprehend about what the future tomorrow is going to bring. And there's already been so much change. But I think if you just look around and see the rate at which things continue to accelerate, you look at the scope for change, the kind of things that are starting to go on now these days with, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning. There's a lot of things that are now becoming really accessible. They're finding applications in areas that, you know, were cost prohibitive years ago, but certainly are not today. Then it doesn't take much to start to actually realize that there is such a huge amount more that can be done. So I do firmly believe that although electronics have come a long, long way in the last few years and had a, you know, a huge impact on the way that we live our lives, that is only just getting started. And, you know, the next 10, 20 years, if we look at the kind of things that could happen, and, you know, this is what's exciting now, you know, about working in this particular space. You know, building tools and services that underpin a lot of these industries and innovations that really have such a positive impact, you know, throughout the world. That's really exciting because I think the kind of things that we're doing now basically are amplified throughout all of those industries and make a lot of other things kind of possible tomorrow. So from my standpoint as well, and the way that I believe that we see it here at Altium is that it's very much our responsibility as to where we are today to lead that way in providing people with the kind of opportunities and capabilities that they so very much need and deserve for tomorrow. And that's what's exciting about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And sort of on the back of what Ted was saying, and actually you're both really alluding to, is, you know, what I've learned here at Altium is I've never been this close to software developers and watching how truly challenging, you know, if Altium set out to develop all these capabilities with our own developers over time, that doesn't make sense. But there's so many other capable companies that have taken years. And so by connecting that with our own tools, we almost make the possibilities limitless, as well as, you know, just take away cost, time, and all these things. So it allows for really the acceleration of these things and, you know, hopefully for the good of the world because technology is so ubiquitous. Either one of you can sort of address this, but I think there's, at least with the designers I talk to, there's always sort of this elephant in the room around cloud technology and electronics engineers, which is about security, not only from an IP standpoint, but also, say, U.S. military providers or that. Can you tell us? I know that your team's built upon the AWS, Amazon Web Services platform, but can you tell us a little bit behind the scenes how we're addressing those concerns.
So yeah, absolutely, Julie. Let me address that. I mean, today with the cloud platform, we essentially start to become the custodian of our customers' data. You know, we are responsible for protecting their intellectual property, and that's extremely important, you know, both for our customers, obviously, and for us, and it's a big responsibility. You know, if you look at the approach that we've taken in building our cloud platform, you know, we've put a lot of time and energy into creating this fairly hardened, multi-tenanted environment, which aims to silo customers' data to make sure that it's protected at various levels throughout the platform. As you mentioned, we're also built on top of AWS, you know, which is, you know, the leading cloud services provider out there today. We work pretty closely with them. We leverage a lot of tools, services, and capabilities, which help to make sure that, you know, as we're continuing to design and evolve our platform, that we are, you know, using the latest, most secure kind of practices and adopting the best processes to do so. And if you look at the organization itself and how we're continuing to mature today, it's not just about software development. It's also about the organization in and of itself, the way that we're structured, the way that we actually kind of operate, and so on and so forth. So, you know, making sure that we also attain, you know, industry standards certification to standards like SOC 2 and ISO 27000. These are things that we are, you know, actively pursuing today to give our customers confidence that as an organization, you know, Altium is capable of supporting your needs and going beyond your kind of, to be honest, going beyond expectations in that area. One thing I will say about, you know, the cloud side of things is that electronics, sure, has been taking a little while for the industry to, you know, really start to accept this as a way forward. And I think if we would have, you know, started to do this maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it would have been a little bit too early. But what we are seeing today is that more and more customers today are not only happy to move to the cloud, they're actually demanding it. We've got a lot of customers that, you know, they're really building on top of a lot of the services and value that actually comes and can only be delivered through cloud today. So this is actually becoming a very important thing. It's not an optional thing. Actually, for some customers, it's becoming a very mandatory thing. And I think if you just generally look across different industries and society in whole, you know, there's a lot of things that are starting to emerge today that really, again, wouldn't be possible without cloud being there today. And that goes from everything from, you know, say your online banking to whatever that may be. You know, everything is relying on, you know, connected services. So, yeah, absolutely. We're doing a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure that, you know, we protect our customers and keep them safe.
And it's no small thing what AWS does as well. I mean, I think when cloud first emerged, everybody was very skeptical. Like you said, 5-10 years ago, this may have not been palatable, but there's been so much done by huge providers like AWS to where even on their GovCloud and things, you know, that the top levels of our government are using their services. So it'll be interesting to watch. So I hope you'll keep us updated and come back. Ted, any closing thoughts or anything? And by the way, for our audience, just so you know, before Altium started down that road, Ted had hair. We didn't have gray hair, and I didn't have to dye my hair. It's not for the faint of heart, but we love what we do. So, Ted, again, any closing thoughts before I let you go?
You know, I guess I would just say if you are an Altium designer user and you haven't tried Altium 365 yet, you really should. So, you know, the friction, I talk about zero cost, zero friction to our partners. And, you know, for customers, if you're on your Altium Designer subscription, it's free for you to use. You don't have to pay anything extra to go there and use it. And, you know, the thing again about it, I would just say is that it just works. It's really easy. And so I would encourage people go to that platform and try it. And the same way, you know, if I kind of flip that coin the other way, that two-sided coin and say to people who would look to be partners, who see an opportunity to provide value to Altium customers, just come to nexar.com and create a login and just try it. The API is there. You'll be able to get access to that to begin doing, whether it's integration work or it's to, you know, push or pull data or whatever that looks like. You can come and you can do it today. And there's, again, zero cost, zero friction. So we want everybody to be there on that platform. We want to see this industry move from, you know, where it has been for three or four decades into the future. And we think we have a role to play in that. We think Altium 365 and Nexar are the key to that from our perspective. So come on in. We want everyone.
Well, thank you both for joining today and sort of giving us a look behind the scenes of everything you're doing. I sure appreciate really both your roles here, and it's really a delight to work with you both and to play a small role in this, and especially coming from where I came from. I've seen those problems close up, and to be part of a company that's solving some of those pain points is really, really exciting. So thank you both for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Judy. Good to be here.
To our listeners, I'm going to put a boatload of links below that include the Nexar website. You can go poke around there. I'm also putting a link below to Altium 365. You can go check that out. So, and also I'll put in some other podcasts of people that have used Altium 365, just telling stories about it, how it helped them, say, bring emergency ventilator get to the forefront during COVID, or a team that their team got shut down during COVID and they were able to pull them back up, you know, really quickly. So there's some neat, inspiring stories out there that you might enjoy. So I'll put those links below. Thanks so much for joining us today. We will see you next week. Until then, remember to stay healthy, stay safe, and always remember to stay on track.